Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! The third switch. And the third switch was thrown, and it was good. And this is the horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. It is Friday, the 8th day of April, 2016. And ordinarily this would be Friday on the front porch, but it's been a little bit of a strange week of, things being a little bit out of kilter with me only doing 2 hours each night, not here at all last night. But, you know, we've got 2 hours to cuss and discuss here this evening. We will not have a formal, official kind of Friday on the front porch this evening because just as I had, just as there were issues, well, Agnes had outpatient surgery yesterday, and so no show yesterday. Well, Sparky has medical issues to deal with his beloved spouse, and so he will not be hosting a Friday on the front porch this evening. And it's kind of hard to get. It's kind of hard to get into a real Friday on the front porch kind of rhythm when we're only doing 2 hours. So yeah, that's how that works. And yeah, I think I was a little slow on the uptake on throwing the third switch, but you don't know that if you're just listening to the podcast. And I don't mean just listening to the podcast. I mean, real-time kind of thing. So, thank you, Soapbox Geezer. Thank you. Who are you? Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. That's become a thing, hasn't it? Reminding me to So, anyway, it's Friday. And of course, we'll have 2 hours of conversation between now and 8 p.m. And then, as I've been doing the rest of the week, I'll knock down for an hour and get everything ready to roll for the 2 hours of the Malloy program coming up at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And there's some thanks that need to go out because even though I was, we had a little bit of a deficit closing out prayer meeting Wednesday. And I'm happy to say a big chunk of that got knocked down. And the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society, courtesy of Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society CEO head chef, Harold, has been consumed. So thank you very, very, very much, one and all. Thank you to our subscribers. Thank you very kindly to Sylvia and Felicia and Dwayne and Mildred. Thank you very, very much for your help, because that's kept us, even though I couldn't be here last night, that's kept us from being in a great big nasty hole. Thank you also to Leo and Catherine and, thanks all the way around to GK and Alec, and to Andrew. Thank you all very much. That's how we keep this. That's how we keep this all going. So it's not as bad as it could have been, and we only need to raise about $300 this evening to come even on the week and finish the week okay, which is huge. So, you know, one at 300, two at one, three at 100, two at 150. Let's see, six at 50, 12 at 25, 24 at 12 and a quarter, et cetera, et cetera. We don't want to get me too lost in the gazettas, or the whole show may very well just disintegrate. But thank you very, very much. And, of course, the PayPal button is over at headonradionetwork.com. It's how we keep all this on the air until we get a huge, huge, huge advertising contract to sell mattresses made of foam developed by NASA and made in Sweden and capable of having a bowling ball bounced off of them and picked up in midair, no less, by an Oric vacuum cleaner. All while your bed sits on your lumber liquidator's floor under the roof of your General Steel building, whilst you listen to Flush Flimball on your Bose Wave radio. Yes. Thank you, Randy. Randy letting me know all loud and clear on iTunes on my back. I appreciate it. I appreciate it very, very much indeed. By the way, the postal address, as usual, if you wish to help out that way, and thanks to everyone who did and does. Thank you very, very kindly. I usually get a list from Boss Man Wayne when we get together once every couple or 3 weeks to let me know. Thanks, Labor Man. 600 people at 50 cents apiece. Aw, damn, Trey, you're right. I forgot the buy gold now thing. Buy gold now. There's never been a better time to buy gold. Buy high and sell low because you're chumps. Right. Not you are, but, you know, people who listen to right-wing advertising. All while waiting for your herbal erection remedy to kick in and hair to sprout on your little bald, their little pointy, bald right-wing pates from their herbal hair regrowth formulations. the postal address. The horn, checks and money orders, because you can't really send, it's not such a good idea to send cash, because remember, we share a UPS store address with the fucking Klan, okay? And the Klan are, of course, thieves, malcontents, terrorists, and the like, so, right. Checks and money orders made payable to the horn, not made payable to Bob Kincaid. I never see him. To 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, Beckley. Spell that awfully fast, don't I? Beckleywv 25801. Maybe send me an email at bobkincaid@gmail.com and let me know, and I'll tell Boss Man Wayne to be on the lookout, so he can leave his spider-proof gloves in the truck. Oh no! Randy, you got rounded up. You absolutely did. Absolutely. All right, Friday. What do we do on a Friday? Bernie's going to go talk to the Vatican. You can only imagine that. Well, never mind. Let's just leave. That's petty. We won't do that. But isn't that telling? Bernie's talking to the Vatican about income inequality and economic injustice because he's the one who's talking about it. He's the one who's made an issue out of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm proud for him. I really, really am. And I hope it goes well. I could not keep up with his travel schedule. You really do. Any politician who did, you've got to have some sort of drive, some sort of yearning for the office that just, well, it evades me. In Bernie's case, I think it's because he senses that he's on a mission, and we are, and this may be kind of a last chance, last ditch effort sort of situation. Oh, let's see. What do we got this evening? We got a lot of stupid. Because we got a lot of right-wingers. And I don't know. I mean, Randy just asked, what if a candidate gets sick for like 2 weeks or something? I don't know. How long did it take Dr. First Lady Senator Secretary Clinton to recover from that rather serious head injury that she suffered when she had a cold and or flu or something and passed out and fell down and cronked her noggin? Like I said. Oh, that's so true. Carol Baker, Queen of the Minions, noting, none of the Christians were invited to speak to the Vatican, only the socialist Jew. It says something. Something. Right. Now, I said, we do. I mentioned a minute ago, we got a lot of stupid to deal with because we got a lot of stupid right-wingers out there. And it's been a while since we heard from one of the prototypes of stupid, and that would be Texas First District Member of Congress Louis Asparagus Gohmert. And just because we haven't heard from him in a while doesn't mean he's not out there being stupid. Because he is. Oh, merciful God, he so is. I'm no spring chicken anymore. I'm all of 53 years old. And I remember my childhood. And apparently, even though I was raised down in the Bible Belt, and even though I was raised, you know, amongst the God-fearing and the evangelical, what? That's a sign of the rapture? Quick update. Sparky notes, Bernie is speaking at a rally in Greenpoint, Brooklyn, live right now. Thousands of people are in attendance, as usual. As usual. The trick is, you know, it ain't like showing up to a rock show. It ain't like showing up to, no. You got to go do something afterward. And that is to go and vote and get your friends and your neighbors to vote. So here's hoping that happens on April 19th in New York and then happens resoundingly again in Pennsylvania and Rhode Island and Connecticut and Maryland. Yeah. But anyway, back to the stupid. When you get to be a certain age, many of us look back on our childhood and it's kind of bathed in this sepia-tinted golden light of remembrance. And sure, you remember the bad, and you remember the good. But big stuff, it makes an impression. You know, I can't remember every day of first grade, but I remember first grade, I remember second, I remember third. I can name all of my teachers through elementary school, many of my classmates. And I remember how we learned and how we played. But I'll be damned if I remember anything like this. Now, just as a side note, the boss, Bruce Springsteen, if you had tickets for his upcoming concert in Charlotte, North Carolina, Stan, where they're terribly, terribly, terribly worried about how people go potty, or at least, you know, the Republicans in the state are. Well, you're not going to that Bruce Springsteen concert. That's the long and the short of it. Because the boss has canceled his show. Issuing an apology today, Bruce tweeted and said on his website that, he described the birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, baggers, booger eaters, birchers, Republicans, libertarians, and generally the members of the toenail clipping toothpick club. As having perpetrated, quote, an attempt by people who cannot stand the progress our country has made in recognizing the human rights of all of our citizens to overturn that progress. He's talking, of course, about, what was it, HB2, the $42,000 special session of the North Carolina legislature that was called solely because Republicans were worried about who was going potty where. I mean, Jesus Christ, Sigmund Freud would have a field day with this. So, Bruce said, sorry, no concert this weekend in North Carolina. Wish it was otherwise. Too bad. What a pity, what a pity North Carolina's government turned out to be a bunch of assholes. At one point, he said something like, there are some things that are just more important than a rock show. And how can you... I'm sorry. If you're there in North Carolina and you had tickets, I'm sorry. But he's right. And for all I know, most of the people who were going to that show probably agree. Because the only way the North Carolina legislature got to be the North Carolina legislature is through a relentless effort that was a combination of gerrymandering, voter suppression, soft disenfranchisement, and the outright political corruption that comes with the purchase of our political process, in this case by a creep by the name of Art Pope. So, No Bruce this weekend in North Carolina. No rousing renditions of Born with the Runs or what else could we there's our theme for tonight. Bruce Springsteen songs repurposed to potty themes. I went down to the river, and into the river I peed. Okay, there's that. Okay, so it's, the concert's in what, Greensboro? Sorry. The state law applies to Greensboro, the state law applies to Charlotte, the state law applies to Mount Pilot and Mayberry. I'm not laughing, Gerald. Gerald says, don't forget, Bob, don't laugh. If we had a teabagger in the governor's mansion, we'd be looking at the same dipshittery. I don't want to look. You know, that used to be a job. Shit dippery. But yeah, I get your point. I get your point, Gerald. But anyway, no concert in. Let's see. 4th of July, Asbury Park, potty. Doesn't work so well, does it? But no, seriously. I'm glad he did what he did. It shows that Bruce has a moral center. Early lead in the repurposed Bruce Springsteen song title contest for this evening. Up in Ohio, Todd Proffer's 10th Avenue Squeeze Out. Oh, that's good. That's good. That's really good. So, you know, proud of Bruce Springsteen. Even if day after tomorrow he declares his undying devotion to Dr. First Lady Senator Secretary Clinton, I still respect this move. Did I say move? Yeah, I think I did. Even if we're just dancing in the John. You guys handle this, but no, seriously, you got a lot of work to do to beat Todd with and 10th Avenue Squeeze Out. Of course, I'm still pretty proud of Born with the Runs. Yeah, you know what? I know how this goes. There are people out there who have Googled the discography of Bruce Springsteen. Let's see. Nobody's working with Thunder Road. Michael and Madison, where the hell are you? Yeah, probably. Meeting in the restroom across the river. She's going number one. Yeah, oh well, you get the... No, I'm leaving some of these alone. But all that having been said... Yeah, there's this thing whereby right-wingers, as you well know, are having a purple polka-dotted blue screaming hissy over the bathroom. And it makes me want to, no matter how hard I try, I can't see the other side. Because it is such a batshit crazy argument. But back to fond childhood memories. I guess that sometimes evangelicals are evangelicals because they need... They need the threat of a vengeful God to keep them in line. And that would certainly appear to be the case with Louis Asparagus Gohmert. Now, there's this program. I don't know who broadcasts it. I don't want to know. I just know that our friends at Right Wing Watch have some poor little intern out there whose job every day is to monitor this insanity. Yeah, for as long as they can stand it before they run screaming into the night. And then they share it with the rest of the world, and I, in turn, try to help in the sharing. And so, this program, Washington Watch, is hosted by Family Research Council President Tony
Norman?
Yes, Mother Bates Perkins. And he invited Louis Asparagus Gohmert on to talk about the potty.
I mean, you know, we had kids who were little kids once upon a time. We've been through the whole potty training thing, and you know, sometimes you get little books for them, and they make little potties now that when the little one goes pee pee in it, it plays a song or whatever.
Just got no. Can't help it. But apparently, bathrooms are really fascinating, tantalizing, titillating places if you're an upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual follower of the Prince of Peace. And one of the people who was so fascinated was Louis Asparagus Gohmert. Let's get it from Louis in his own words.
You know, when it comes to this current legislation, where in most of the world, in most of the religions, the major religions, you have men and you have women. And there are some abnormalities, but for heaven's sake, I mean, I was as good a kid as you could have growing up. I never drank alcohol till I was legal. I never to still used an illegal drug. But I'm
now, don't go. I don't want any confessions here now, Louis. Just keep it.
But in the seventh grade, if the law had been that all I had to do was say I'm a girl and I got to go in the girls' restroom, I don't know if I could have withstood that temptation just to get educated back in those days.
Yeah. Okay. Louis. You know, we'll send a bill for the therapy, buddy. Did he not have any sisters? I mean, what did little seventh grade Louis Asparagus, you know, at that point in time, he's not Louis Asparagus Gohmert, he's just Louis the Little Green Sprout. What did he think was going on in there? I mean, did he think the little seventh grade girls were going in there and what? I mean, I'm stymied. I mean, yes. Yeah. Or wanted to, Carol. I don't know. Carol said he fucked them all. Well, he certainly fucked America. Or trying to. Okay. Let's take it as a given that in seventh grade, because that's the benchmark reference which King Crab Louie has referenced. Let's take it as read that there's a little fascination, especially in repressive places like Texas, in the what would it have been, the early 60s, maybe, whatever. Yeah, let's take it as read that there's a little bit of mystery surrounding surrounding gender, because I'm sure Louis grew up in a time when there was no such thing as sex education, and well, you only found out what was going on by learning the old fashioned way. Of course, the really old fashioned way used to be the fact that children who grew up on farms pretty much knew where babies came from because they'd seen horses, you know. Horses do it. Dogs do it. Even Republicans behind closed doors do it. But, okay, we'll take that as read. But what did he think was going on in the bathroom? You know, besides bathroom stuff. I find it hard to believe that at that tender age, in that tender time, that Louis was, bless his pointy little head, fantasizing over wild seventh grade lesbian orgies in the bathroom. Do you understand why this is so perplexing to me? Is it as perplexing to you? I mean, when little seventh grade you was little seventh grade you walking around wondering what was happening in the bathroom, or having been raised in a house with indoor plumbing, did you have a pretty good fucking idea? What? Okay, without the fucking, did you have a pretty good idea what was going on in the bathroom? And dear God, then there's the mental image that'll be giving me nightmares for a while, and I'm sorry to have subjected it to you, but all we got in common is our misery, and the least we can do is share it. There's the misery of having to imagine little seventh grade Louis Gohmert looking up and saying, "I feel pretty." Now that is not in any way to diminish or disparage the reality of gender dysphoria or gender fluidity. But my God, he was Louis Gohmert growing up in a Christian home in Texas. They would have killed him, Mama and Daddy, in the name of Jesus, the God of love. Okay, Carol says, don't ask me. We had a four-seater outhouse. Unisex. When you gotta go, you gotta go. Brother, and you had a big family? Is this the civilization of the suburbs that caused all of this confusion? Or is it the repressive hang-ups that attend the ongoing sick and dysfunctional relationship that we have with repressive Christian religious principles? I'm stumped. Because I really, and again, remember, because there's, you know, this is an onion, it's got many layers, and one of those layers is misogyny, and another layer is sexism. Because once again, Krabby Larry, as they always do, frames this in terms of men going into the women's room.
Because in the evangelical worldview, all men are incipient rapists who will pull a number six on a group of women in like that. You know, assuming, of course, that we're not all, you know, good, upstanding, God-fearing, Bible-believing, hell-fearing Christians. In evangelical world, people don't just go to the bathroom to go to the bathroom, which, of course, is a euphemism in its own right. People don't go to the bathroom. I guess some people go to the bathroom and bathe or shower, but most of the time it's used for other purposes. Oh, there it is. Okay. Todd's on a roll here. We haven't had an outpouring of genius like this since Meet the Feetles. The Thunder Load, Rosa Pita. Come on, are you just surrendering to Todd? Are we just going to give Todd the house cup this evening? Meanwhile, Ron and Raleigh with a note. I moved to North Carolina 40 years ago when North Carolina was a truly progressive southern state. Then the Repiglicans got elected through gerrymandering and a white rural vote. When they got in the state house, they jumped on the progressive brake pedal and with both feet and threw this state into reverse so fast it nearly tore the transmission out of this sumbitch. They have fucked this state up in so many ways, it will be very nearly impossible to fix it in what's left of my lifetime, even if we replace those assholes wholesale. A report came out yesterday that states that children in this state have the worst prospects of upward mobility of any other state. These motherfuckers are burning the country down, and they started the fire here in New York City. Or in North Carolina. Sorry, I imagined a why. No. And they started the fire in North Carolina. P.S. Louis probably put mirrors on his shoes to look up girls' dresses. That would not surprise me in the least. So now we know that even though Louis was a good child, who never drank alcohol till it was legal, and never to still use an illegal drug, but was apparently a rapist in waiting in seventh grade. Well, do continue on, please, Louis, so that we can understand the fullness of your illness.
But there is a reason adults are in charge. We're supposed to act like adults. And it's just phenomenal. I've met one of the founders of PayPal, and I saw what you had said about businesses suffering or corporate world suffering from Stockholm Syndrome. Perhaps that's it. But to be telling states that you have to let boys into little girls' restrooms or we're pulling our business is just the height of lunacy.
No, Louis. The height of lunacy is your assumption that every male and it ain't even male. And Jesus Christ! No wonder we can't explain this to them. But again, as I alluded to, it's always guys going into the ladies' room that they're worried about. It's never girls going into the men's room. Why is that? I mean, I think that question actually has some rather significant depth. Why is that?
Do they just assume that no self-respect and upstanding, God-fearing, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical woman would ever want to do such a thing? I guess maybe we could, that's good. Chug a punch in the chat room. Louie Lulu. Yeah, he's Lou Louie. Louie the Lou. That would be funny in the UK. Probably getting some laughs over there right now. Oh, but that's what's really pissing off Louie, isn't it? It's the PayPal thing. See, they love the free market until the free market disagrees with them. Because PayPal was going to open a call center or some such in North Carolina with a whole bunch of jobs. Jobs. And now they're not. Sorry. But somehow it's PayPal's fault for not being as discriminatory as the right-wing Friends of Jesus. And it was particularly cute because the governor of Vermont, Peter Shumlin, upon hearing that North Carolina was not going to get the PayPal center, because, see, PayPal, being a participant in the free market, well, PayPal might have corporate non-discrimination policies that would have said, well, you know what, we're just going to have bathrooms, we're just not going to get real upset about the bathrooms. Well, hell, PayPal might have even hired some transgendered people or some gays. But Peter Shumlin, the governor of Vermont, said, oh, you're not going to North Carolina? Come on up to Vermont. You'll love it. And we're not going to pass any legislation about who can go to the potty, because we got more important things to deal with. And religion hasn't driven us out of our minds. And Louie's pissed. Because all of a sudden, that free market has turned around and kicked those right-wingers who have for so long sung its praises, kicked them right in the teeth. Took them into the potty and whooped that ass. My, oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we potty to deceive. Mm-mm-mm. Meanwhile, Randy observes, didn't you know, Bob, that Mormons watch a lot more porn on the internet because it's forbidden fruit? You want it more. That's true. Utah is the highest porn-consuming state in the Union. Somewhere not too far behind them is Talabama, which provides a delightful segue. Alabama's romping governor, Robert Bentley, is having what some would call a bad couple of weeks. It was just a couple of days ago that over there in down there in Montgomery, up on what is referred to as Goat Hill, a lawmaker by the name of Ed Henry, a member of the Alabama House of Representatives, presented proposed articles declaring the governor Robert Bentley unfit to serve the state of Alabama. And let me simply observe at this juncture that the state of that unfit to serve the state of Alabama is a bar that is so goddamn low a pissant couldn't walk under it without bumping his head and giving himself a concussion. Nonetheless, that is that's the opening salvo, if you will, in moving toward the impeachment of Robert Bentley. That happened this past Tuesday. Representative Ed Henry said, "We're looking at this governor who has essentially betrayed the trust of the people. The only course the people of Alabama have to address this issue is through the impeachment process." Among other things, it's all about his relationship with one of his near closest aides, Rebecca Mason, who was married to his faith-based initiatives czar or what the ever. And it turns out some state funds they're investigating whether state funds might have been used in furtherance of the, and this is a technical term, romping. You know what makes this all ever so much worse? Representing Ed Henry is a good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gundamentalist, amosexual, re-pig-licking. Oh, et tu, Brute, et tu. However, a Democrat was happy to sign on along with Representing Henry. Meanwhile, Governor Bentley, formerly of the First Baptist Church of Tuscaloosa, having been tossed out on his ass by that ecclesiastical body, said, "There are no grounds for impeachment, and I will vigorously defend myself and my administration from this political attack. Today's press conference is nothing more than political grandstanding intended to grab headlines and take the focus away from the important issues the legislature still has to address before the end of the session." Governor Bentley, while you're still governor there, may I humbly suggest that you not make any more statements and use the word grab. I love it when I lay my arms and hands and grab your breasts, and not use the word focus anymore. Hey, come on over, honey, I'll lock the door and we'll focus. Yeah. Now, you want some fun? Because this is a real hoot. This has some potential. This has some watch this, real watch this space ambiance. Because if they go through with the impeachment process on Governor Bentley, bent indeed, baby, bent indeed. The House would have to vote to impeach. And then the impeachment trial would happen in the state Senate of Alabama. But here's the fun part. The trial in the Senate would be presided over by Alabama Supreme Court Chief Justice Roy Traditional Family Values Marriage, Ten Commandments Everywhere You Turn to More. Mm-hmm. And Gubner Bentley has had about all he is willing to stand of these here shenanigans. You know it. He was down in Mobile, which is not, as it is so often mispronounced, Mobile. He was down in Mobile, which takes its name from the Maubla people who once lived there. And he was down there to ballyhoo him some job creating. And things got a little bit testy. Because Governor Bentley wanted to talk about job creating. And all them members of the 4th Estate wanted to talk about him romping.
What impact has the scandal had on reporting?
Did you hear what I just said?
Yes, sir.
Okay,
But is this a legitimate question?
No, it's not. Okay. We're here today. We signed a bill.
I understand, sir.
We signed a bill today to bring jobs to this state, and that's what we're working on.
But
who else has a question?
Any blowback from the scandal as far as
reporting? Wait. Time out, Jack, okay? Time out. What's he mean, we signed a bill? Him and Rebecca Mason? He and that mouse in his pocket? Or is he the Queen of fucking England?
We have signed a bill today to bring jobs to the state. This also is all.
And absolutely, as Lottie points out in the chat room, if he was to be impeached and removed from office, since it's Alabama, his replacement would be just as bad or worse. And is probably already having his own affair. Or her, yeah, sure. And see, this tells you, I was talking earlier about, those more innocent days when say Louis Asparagus Gohmert was growing up. Once upon a time, Alabama had a governor by the name of Big Jim Folsom. And this story may be apocryphal, but I grew up hearing it told about Big Jim. And Big Jim liked him some romping. And it got about that he had in particular romped with a wrong colored woman. And just then as now, the media wanted to ask him questions about it. But instead of getting all pissy about it, thusly.
We're here today. We signed a bill.
I understand,
We signed a bill today to bring jobs to this state. And that's what we're working on.
But
who else has a question?
Any blowback from the scandal as far as recruitment?
Absolutely none.
Absolutely
none.
Do you get the sense they're cooling off on you in the legislature right now in the impeachment process?
Is there another question
about
the bill?
Did you hear what I said? I told you to quit asking me questions about that. There.
Well, they did the same thing with Big Jim. And they said, Governor, is it true that you slept with that woman in the no-tell motel? And he is alleged to have looked at him and said, it's a damn lie. Ain't neither one of us got a wink of sleep. And they all hauled and moved along. But now we're so politically correct that a governor can't even use state funds in furtherance of his illicit, unfamily values, romping affair, and have them journalists. Not listen to him and pay attention. He said, did you hear what I asked you, what I told you? Somebody's going to need a refresher course at Dale Carnegie.
Right now in the impeachment process?
Is there another question
about
the bill?
I said,
Yes, sir. Look, we are dealing with this today, and we will deal with Montgomery. I have already made my statement, and so we're moving on.
There's not another question we can conclude.
All right. If there are no other questions about this bill, then that's all we'll have to say.
Governor, it's been a
like this is great for the people of Alabama, great for the people of Mobile. Do you think it will kind of help change some of the negative comments about your administration?
Well. Look, we came into this administration to help create jobs for the people of Alabama. Everything's about the people. And I'm working hard, even through all of this, I'm working hard every day to try to help the people. And I think that's what people want. They want jobs, they want their children educated, they want all the things that I've been trying to do. And we're not going to stop trying to do that. So we're going to continue to work hard on that.
But they upstanding Bible-believing Christ-centered Christians, Governor. They also want a governor who ain't out there fucking around with women who ain't his wife. And apparently your wife, now soon to be your ex-wife, feels the same way. Oh, it's about jobs. It's always about the people. Always been about the people. You're no good at this. You're no good at this, Bob Bentley.
You guys,
thank
all
you
the
guys.
Time that we have.
Thank y'all.
Okay, Governor, it's been a rough couple of weeks. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm doing fine. Yeah, I am.
It seems like it has kind of calmed down, maybe, that you've worked through it.
Which truck is he needing to be in?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I'm doing well. Yeah. It's kind of calmed down. Well, okay. I guess. I reckon. Well, let's take a break, whatever it is. It's about 3 minutes before the hour. Look, if you want to get involved in the conversation and you want to discuss this or just about anything else that may come to mind, you know how to do so. The three numbers. The stress line is 304-663-HORN, 304-663-4676. The other line is 304-574-8178. Then, of course, Skype to Skype. And I reckon I could try to tie in a couple or three calls together if y'all want to have a sort of a miniature extraordinary ordinary round table. I can try to do that. Skype to Skype is Bob Kincaid Horn. Any way you care to reach is fine by me. Governor, we got us a recording with you a-rutting on Mayella there, and there he was, a-rutting on my Mayeller. With you a-rutting on Mayeller there, and we just can't quite understand you saying what you're saying. Could you reposition the microphone next time you're having sexy time in the name of Jesus, Governor? Could you please? Yes. Absolutely. And a reminder, we're trying to raise about $300 this evening. So far, we are at zero. Hopefully, it will not remain that way because, you know, starting next week in the deficit, sucketh. But, yeah, whatever, $5, $10, it all helps keep everything going here. This is The Horn. Friday. It's not really front porch. This is for you, Bob Bentley.
Hold me close and try and understand. Desire is hunger, is the fire I believe. Love is a banquet on which we feed. telephone. Love is an angel disguised as lust. Can I love it until the morning comes?
Can I pick them or can I pick them? Got an oblique Bruce Springsteen reference there, Because the Night, he wrote that. And they can't hurt you now. They can't hurt you now. They can't hurt you now. Yeah, I admit it. I was proud of that one. Damn right. So let's see. Let's scoot along away from Alabama Stan. Oh, by the way, you know how you know you've really done something stupid? I think this is a pretty good standard. North Carolina, Governor McCrory. Republican legislature of North Carolina, you really are officially a bunch of fuckwits. You know how I know? Because Charles Barkley says you're a bunch of fuckwits. Charles Barkley is not one to hold his tongue. He's done... He said some fairly outrageous things. At one point in time, he played with the notion of maybe running for governor of the state of Alabama, from whence he comes. Well, he gave an interview to Chicken Noodle News. And he said something that's bound to just be pissing them good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered Christian evangelical fundamentalists right off. What he said was this: I think the NBA should move the All-Star game from there, meaning North Carolina, next year. As a black person, I'm against any form of discrimination against whites, Hispanics, gays, lesbians, however you want to phrase it. It's my job with the position of power that I'm in and being able to be on television. I'm supposed to stand up for the people who can't stand up for themselves. So I think the NBA should move the All-Star game from Charlotte. Yeah, well, now.
And bless his heart for consistency, because Charles Barkley also said that the NCAA should move the Final Four out of Indianapolis when they passed their hateful bill last year, and then quickly sort of rescinded it. And by the way, that PayPal center, that would have been 400 new jobs in Charlotte. But you know, there's a happy spot for the bigots. In a moment of real courage, the No Fun League, the NFL, said no, we're not going to move our owners' meetings away from Charlotte. They must have already had all the hookers lined up. No. How typical. That Roger Goodell, he's got some kind of no spine. Somewhere, Pat McCrory said, well, at least we still got the NFL. Oof. But the whole thing is not playing well at all with, you know, decent human beings. Who else is pissed off about all this? How about tuition-paying students in the University of North Carolina system? And I have to say, that was one of the most one of the most dramatic finishes to a basketball game I have ever seen the other night. Just in case our buddy Scott in Sweden hasn't gotten around to it yet, I won't say anything further, but wow. And of course, one of the in the Final Four game between North Carolina and Syracuse, one of those stories that the respective schools always hate to have be part of the story was that both schools were under a tremendous load of academic scandal. But nonetheless, the UNC system used to be a sort of crown jewel in its firmament. And now that HB2 has been signed into law, the UNC system has no choice, they perceive, but to implement the law. And again, this is another one of those moments where, you know, the youth provide hope for the future. Now, the president of the University of North Carolina is a woman named Margaret Spellings. And Margaret Spellings has problems all her own. Margaret Spellings is, to begin with, a bigot. She was made president of the University of North Carolina through the wranglings and power playing of the University of North Carolina Board of Governors, even though people didn't want her there. Among other things, she was Secretary of Education under Dim Leader. She's one of those weirdos who describes being gay as a lifestyle. Right. So she's pretty nasty to begin with. And so she wrote a memo to the chancellors of the UNC system in which she said, "University institutions must require every multiple occupancy bathroom and changing facility to be designated for and used only by persons based on their biological sex." The act does not contain provisions concerning enforcement of the bathroom and changing facility requirements. Which means what? That the North Carolina legislature in its next session will create the potty police? Well, this isn't playing at all well with the with students at UNC. Margaret Spellings was at the UNC Pembroke campus today, and student protesters gathered outside the building there, where the high and mighties had actually been locked in a public building belonging to the people of the state of North Carolina, had its doors locked so that Margaret Spellings would not have to hear any unpleasantries. There were bathroom sit-ins today at the University of North Carolina, Wilmington. Students at University of North Carolina, Charlotte protested and gathered signatures demanding that their chancellor stand up against Margaret Spellings. At Appalachian State University in Boone, North Carolina, students protested. Let's see what that sounded like.
We're non-conforming.
Gender non-conforming.
We be more color.
And we be more color.
We be more color.
And we be more color.
We more color.
They sound motivated. It was an occupation of the administration building. Meanwhile, where Pat McCrory is concerned, what a great guy he is, by the way. There is a new hashtag out there, along with hashtag HB2. People who wish to do so can use peeing for Pat. And the numbers being given out, this is reminiscent of the campaign in which women and their partners, supporters, friends, loved ones, were called upon to let Mike Pence in Indiana know how their periods were going. A meme that's a photograph of a toilet has been making the rounds. And it's labeled, "Call before you go, 919-814-000. That's 919-814-000. Hashtag peeing for Pat. And, of course, the purpose of this is to make a mockery of Pat McCrory, which he richly deserves. People are sending pictures of toilets to at Pat McCrory. That's at symbol PATMCCRORYNC. At Pat McCrory, North Carolina, photograph of a toilet, restaurant bathroom in Hickory, clear of LGBTs, homophobes, and transphobes. And using the HB2 and peeing for Pat
Hashtag. I guess his Twitter feed's a little bit of a mess. Darn. What a pity. What a pity he's such a jerk.
What the hell is wrong with it?
I was about to say, what the hell is wrong with this country?
But it ain't entirely this country. It's going on in the Confederacy. Because the Confederacy never really surrendered. And this is how they're fighting back.
You're right. A note coming in from Todd in Ohio on the whole Bruce Springsteen repurposing titles effort this evening. So many Bruce Springsteens don't need any help. Brilliant Disguise, I'm Going Down, The River, Lost in the Flood, Open All Night, Ramrod, Tunnel of Love. Then there's When I Pee, It's on Fire, Glory Hole Days. See, I saw that one and I left that one alone, Todd. The Ghost of Tom Lode, I'm Up Peeing All Night, Darkness on the Edge of Brown, The Pee Street Shuffle, Hungry Fart, She's the One. At number two, I got to be careful henceforth with you, Todd. No, it's not what's
wrong with this country. It's what's wrong with the Confederacy.
Ron in Raleigh says, and to add insult to injury, there, i.e. me, praying that skank 750,000, paying that skank, you know, the people of North Carolina, are paying that skank 750,000 large, not including a house and travel allowance. That would be that would be Margaret Spellings, the president of the UNC system. Good work if you can get it. And then, I value comments like this. I value all the comments, but this gives some resonance to it because Robert in Australia simply asks, is this going on anywhere else in the world? Do any of the Horn family members know if this bathroom nonsense is going on anywhere else in the world, or is it just in the USA? I take it from your comment, Robert, that it ain't happening in Australia.
I'm sure there's some variation on this weirdness going on in the places in the world where people practice their religion with a rosary in one hand and a dead chicken in the other. Thank you, Lottie. Man, I've got mileage out of that over the years. I had
a story that I didn't get time for on prayer meeting Wednesday. Brother Deacon Asa sent it to me. Let's see. How about Nairobi? Two teachers at Strait Secondary School in Nairobi, Kenya, are, as the article reports, on the spot after burning a 17-year-old student with polythene bags and kerosene for allegedly engaging in devil worship. The incident took place on the staff room on March 17th as the principal watched. The teachers tied the girl's hands and feet and demanded that she disclose the whereabouts of another student. When she said she didn't know the girl in question, they resorted to burning her and demanded that she confess to devil worship. And then this sentence, which just sends you just once running into the night. The girl's parents, who were called in after she was rushed to the hospital, denied that she was a devil worshiper. Well, I'm good. I'm glad we've gotten that cleared up. In January, another teenager went through a similar ordeal in Nakuru County after members of a local church burnt her in an alleged exorcism. To which the only answer is, well, goddamn. So, you know, some of this is probably taking place. Look at Uganda. Remember, Robert, that here in the United States, we have a clique, a cabal, if you will, of right-wing, upstanding, Bible-believing, God-fearing, Christ-centered evangelicals who have happily supported a murder gay people bill in Uganda. There's a social trend or cultural trend in Iran. You can't be gay in Iran, but you can get a sex change operation and then they'll leave you alone. If you're a guy who wants to have sex with guys, they will leave you alone if you get, you know, vaginoplasty. And then you can, you know, put on the beekeeper suit and have sex with a guy. But that's where we are. That's the reality. The Confederacy states of the U.S., along with some other various and sundry assorted fucking weirdo states, have more in common with Iran than they do with the rest of the several states. And, you know, God forbid that one incident take place in a restroom. Now, I live in a pretty brutal place. There were incidents in restrooms, like in the schools, still are. Not incidents of sexy time, but incidents of violence. Girls beating on girls in the restroom, boys beating on boys in the restroom. Oddly enough, that doesn't enter into the equation with these goddamn weirdos. And yeah, it's spreading. With the massive success of HB2 and now in North Carolina, the ironically named state senator Lee Bright down in South Carolinistan has introduced S-1203, which directly bogarts the language of HB2. And then, you know, tweaks it a little bit. The primary purpose of South Carolina's S-1203 is to sort of home in on pottying. But I do. I appreciate the note, Robert. I really, really do. Because as I've noted in the past, the international contingent of the Horn must hear some of this stuff and think that it is absolute madness over here. And you know what? If you're in any of the Stan states, North Carolina Stan, Virginia Stan, South Carolina Stan, Georgia Stan, Tennessee Stan, Florida Stan,
Arkansas, Talabama, Mississippi stand, Louisiana stand. It is madness. It absolutely is. And the only reason we wound up not having one of these idiotic bills become law is because the Republican who really wants to be governor is a billionaire for whom money matters more than evangelical religion. In further answer to Robert's question, Asa says, going back to the potty issue, Bob, it's being discussed here, but not in the way you would think, here being Canada. So some municipalities are considering putting in a third potty to make it easier on the transgender community. Well, shit, God Almighty will just drop a volcano on you for that, Asa. Yeah, I'd watch for lightning, but, well, you can't really watch for a lightning bolt, can you? Earthquakes, floods, tsunamis, you know, because yeah, God is love, y'all. But, yes, the ironically named Senator Lee Bright, I mean, you can only ask so much of the goddess of irony. It's not like she could have him be named Lee fucking Dullard. He's done got himself all hit up there in the South Carolina state legislature. In the past, he's done things like suggesting that maybe South Carolina ought to take another run at secession. Because, you know, the first try worked out so fucking well. He wants gun shooting classes in South Carolina school rooms. And as soon as PayPal said what it said about North Carolina, well, that got on the fighting side of Lee Bright down in South Carolina stand. And since he didn't have a cannon handy to shoot at PayPal or something, you know how they are. They just go off. Well, no. I'm not going to say half-cocked. Oh, damn it! No, he said, apparently PayPal has shown its support for pedophiles by wanting them to go into bathrooms. Men and women sharing bathrooms in public places is just beyond me. I'm sure he was elected on the strength of his religious convictions and not his fucking intellect. I've about had enough of this, he bellowed. I mean, years ago, we kept talking about tolerance, tolerance, and tolerance, and now they want men who claim to be women to be able to go into the bathroom with children. And you got corporations who say this is okay. No mention there the fact that the pedophilia problem in this country really doesn't center on transgender people, but rather folks like Roman Catholic priests who don't necessarily do what they do in the bathroom. The youth minister of First United Methodist Church in Cedar Hill, Texas, who did not take a child into a bathroom, but instead molested the child back behind an apartment building. Well, see, that's exactly what I mean. Well, bitch is turning the bathrooms into a safe place for children, their precious little children, former fetuses that they are, bless them, to be molested. Next thing you know, the liberals will be making us put in molesting beds in the bathrooms for the transgender pedophiles. God bless America. And, yeah, like I mentioned last night, talking to Charlie, I think, on the Malloy program. Are you in Tennessee? You're probably going to get one of these bills, too. Because they're all the rage. They've even got him a bill in the Tenistan House. They've got him a, and it's just charming, mind you, positively Christian. They're aiming some legislation directly at trans students. It got put aside last month, but now with the success of HB 2 in North Carolina stand, by a vote of 8-4 in the House Education Administration and Planning Committee of Tenistan, the House, they've sent House Bill 2414 on to the Senate Finance Ways and Means Committee. You know, I really think these southern states need to create a potty committee in both houses. Maybe it could be a special committee. The bill is being hustled by the Family Action Council of Tennessee. And they're going to protect marriage and family life and religious liberty. Oh, God. Under the bill, the students at any public elementary high school or institution of higher education would be prohibited from using any bathroom or locker room that don't match the sex listed on the student's birth certificate, which again raises the specter of someone in one of these goddamn benighted, ignorant, back-assward fucking states saying, "I'm sorry, your potty papers are not in order." Maybe instead of that, you know, that ancient symbol on their little red armbands, there could just be a toilet. Now, how's the bill going to work? Here's the fun part. If it was passed, and it will be, it'll require staff and faculty at public K-12 schools, colleges, and universities to bar transgender students from using the restroom that corresponds with their gender identity. Now, this, of course, is a howling violation of Title IX of the 1972 Education Amendments. So, what would happen then if, let's say, a staff or faculty member at a public K-12 school, college, or university in Tennessee said, no, you can't go in that potty. And the said person pissed on their shoes. Kind of hard to argue they wouldn't kind of be asking for it. But how many hungry children do you reckon there are in Tennessee or Alabama or Mississippi or Louisiana, North or South Carolina? How many people are there out of work in those states? Out in Kansas, there's apparently a $2,500 bounty on trans kids who use what are we looking for? Unideologically pure, unorthodox. I don't know. Potty. There's a $2,500 bathroom bounty, and we ain't talking about no paper towels. And again, the question raises itself. Who elects these goddamned idiots? Well, the easy answer is more goddamned idiots. I understand that. But, you know, the answers used to... More and more, I can't make sense of it. I feel lost. How is it you can live in a state like Massachusetts or New York or California or Oregon or Washington and this doesn't happen? I mean, is it in the... Maybe it is all just backhanded efforts at nullification. Because eventually, you know, unless, God forbid, we wind up with, you know, Ayatollah Ted in the White House, or T-Rump, eventually the Justice Department will sue, and it's pretty clear that these things are in violation of federal law, and federal law is supreme in these issues, and they will be stricken, and all of these goddamn dumbass Confederate states will get these things stricken down. Stricken. Up, down, sideways, whatever. And all that will have happened is that these fiscal conservatives will have cost a fortune in legal fees to states that can ill afford to pay them. As my buddy says, that just beats cats fucking. In regard to the bounty in Kansas, a note from the marvelously coherent Diane in Kansasstan. Maybe that's how the governor intends to address the deficit. Yeah, by one trans kid bounty at a time. I don't know. It's... And see, I mean, this is a thing. And by the way, all of these rest on a foundation of the Federal Religious Freedom Restoration Act. Who brought us that? Just asking, because I can't remember. Was that Reagan? Was that Pappy Bush? Maybe it was Dim Leader. Now, meanwhile, out in Kansas, Stan, they have to close their schools a month early because they've got a $14 billion shortfall. But the legislature has time to pass laws creating potty bounties on trans kids. It's another one of those little signposts along the way the collapse of empire. Closing schools a month early. Maybe next year it'll be two. Maybe a year after that, school will only be 4 months. Ultimately, the goal of the right wing in this country is, of course, to do away with public schools altogether. I remember many years ago when Jerry Falwell said that public education should be eliminated and education should be put back in the hands of the church where it belongs. Because that way, you can make sure that the vast majority of people who get something resembling an education come out nice and stupid and superstitious and faithful. You know, Pope Frank issued a, what was it called? An apostolic exhortation. Gesundheit. Today. And as far as advancing progressive values or anything is, pretty thin soup. But wouldn't you kind of love to hear Pope Frank just sort of inveigh on this particular and what seems to be uniquely American phenomenon of Christians being obsessed with the bathroom? Wouldn't that be fun? Oh, and hey, thanks very kindly to Kim for jumping in this evening. We've got $275 more to raise by now, and I'm sure it would be nice if there'd be a little more help along the way, a little neighborly standing side by side kind of stuff. Thank you very much, though. Thank you. That's how we keep it all going. Well, that's true. Lottie says, Bob, they don't listen to Pope Frank. He doesn't spout their brand of religion. No, they just call him a Mary worshiper and an idol, idolater and the whore of Babylon and all those things I learned about going to a Baptist church. Still, you know. So what else? What else? Okay, this is funny. Did you know, well, and if you didn't, it's only because you're not a birth or death or ninth or tenth or bagger, booger, eater, bircher, libertarian, Republican member of the toenail clipping toothpick club. Did you know that Barack Obama's a demon? Mm-hmm. You remember James David Manning, the guy who said that there was sperms in all of your Starbucks coffee, had that Atla World Church up in Harlem. Well, he sat down for a conversation with Alex Jones a while back. And, of course, as it always does, the topic of Barack Obama came up, at which point in time, yes, demons, of course. How could it not
be? He bashes Christians.
That's almost like a vampire, because I forgot he'll never be seen with a cross around him.
Well, we're off and running.
Yeah, he's like a vampire.
I don't see a cross on you, Alex Jones. Oh, well.
What is it?
Why do you think? He's a vampire. He's a vampire. He will not, I mean, a cross will actually bring him to his knees. So he has it covered up. I was so put out when Notre Dame did that going back. You remember when that happened going back a year ago? Not a year ago, but several years ago.
I've forgotten about that.
No, and Dr. Alan Keyes was out there.
Professional broadcasting. You got to love it.
On his knees begging people to wake up to what's going on, that you got to cover up the cross of Jesus to get this low-life piece of trash called Obama to come and speak at one of the Catholics' most leading and notorious schools.
That's crazy, because when he goes to India or anywhere else, he will stand in front of any other religious symbol but the cross, and they do cover it up everywhere. Wow, that is such a message that he doesn't want to be seen.
Wow, man, he sounds like the acid's kicking in. Oh my God, Paisley Skies.
Paisley.
Worldwide with that image associated with him. That is unbelievable.
What are we going to do about Christians in America that allow that to take place, who feel cowed, into allowing him to do that? Hands are tied. We're just helpless. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion.
Oh, sounds to me a little bit like the Reverend was into the sacramental wine before they got the hookup going. Freedom.
Means that separation of church and state means that as Christians we shouldn't challenge him.
Well, I was about to say, I've never worn jewelry other than a watch, but I just
because he's a manly man.
I just feel moved the last year or so to get a small cross and start wearing it around my neck just because the enemy hates it so much. Why does the enemy hate that symbol so much?
Because it's the most powerful symbol in all of the known universe. You can go from planet to planet, from star to star.
And I'll bet he does, don't you? Take a trip without ever leaving home. Take a trip and never leave the farm.
Galaxy to galaxy, and the cross is it, Alex. It's it. I got one right here. Can y'all see it? Hey, look here. I got it right.
Picked it up on Norblap 12.
Right here. I'm wearing a cross right here. It's on a little chain on my vest, but I'm wearing it. Alex, go get one. It's power. And I like to see Obama. If first thing I'd do, I'd flash him. I'd have my jacket closed, you know, if I came into his.
I'll bet you would, Reverend. I'll bet you would. You'd flash him.
If I came into his presence, I'd have my jacket closed. Then when I came up to him, I'd flash over my cross.
Well, I've talked to people about how the flies are always landing on him. People leave it inside the White House. And I talked to another prominent person, and they said, no, there's something really evil about Obama when you're in his presence. Have you ever been in his presence?
No, never. No, I boycotted him when he came to Harlem. I was just a door or two away from him across the street when he came to Harlem at the Red Rooster. I led a boycott. Our church was out there in mass numbers boycotting him. But that's the closest I've ever been to the creep.
The Lord of the Flies. I've been around, you know, like he was candidate Obama then. Maybe the demonic transformation wasn't quite complete then, but no flies, no butterflies, no hornets, no wasps, no honeybees. Not even a little moth fluttering around going, "Help me." But does that mean in all of those videos that all those commercials with Sally Struthers featuring children starving in famine decimated countries, does that mean all those little children are those little starving children are demon infested? Because if a fly lands on you, you got a demon. I mean, we got a lot of superstitions here in Appalachia, but I missed that one. And if you're at a picnic and a fly lands on your ham sandwich, is there a demon in your ham sandwich then? And if you eat the ham sandwich, the demon's in it. It all gets so goddamn confusing. How are you supposed to stay away from the demons? You know, when they're flies. And then, you know, there's the Mark Twain question. Why did he let the flies on the fucking ark? Why did God let the flies on the ark and let the poor little unicorns drown? I'm stymied. Now, by the way, a note a while back from Marty, you know, when we were talking about the Bruce concert not going down in Greensboro this weekend.
You ever been to a major concert in a venue without enough women's restrooms, Bob? It's always amusing to see a bunch of women lined up to the exit to the men's, ready to borrow a stall, and the exit to the men's, ready to borrow a stall. Yeah, by God, that's true. I've been to Mountaineer games where some gentlemanly gentlemen will guard the door and keep some rather insistent fellers out who have been consuming way too much beer way too early in the day, just so a passel of lady folk can go use the restroom. What are they going to do? Wait a minute. Now, I know if that's happened in West Virginia, it's bound to have happened in places like Mississippi and South Carolina and North Carolina and Tennessee. And are those women going to have to be arrested? I mean, what about where they play basketball at the University of North Carolina? Well, they probably look the other way because they're just worried about rapists in dresses. Dumbasses. Meanwhile, a note rolling in from Steve in China. I just knew he was a vampire. Bob, don't look now. There's a vampire in your toilet. Seriously, body or bathroom, plumbing is the only thing keeps an American awake nights. Drip, drip, drip. All too true. All too true. So it's about time to wrap things up for this Friday edition of The Horn. Take an hour and get everything squared away and ready for the fifth and final night of Malloy, my filling in for Mike Malloy. Hope you'll join me over that way. In the meantime, hopefully, Kim will get some company. And we will not start more in Monday in a $475 hole, hopefully. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for putting up with the shortened program this week. I really appreciate it. And thanks for coming on over and sharing your time during the Malloy program as well. Much obliged. It's been a lot of fun. And by the way, Agnes says thank you for all of your kind good wishes. She was kind of about half out of it last night, and that's why I didn't feel real good leaving during these 2 hours. But she'd be, you know, asleep during the 9 to 11, so that's why that worked out that way. But if we don't talk again here in about an hour, have yourself a wonderful weekend, and we'll get back together again on Moran Monday. Have a wonderful weekend, y'all. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.